Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Why are we getting so close to the end? All our lovely Arrow AfterBuzz fans, we are here to talk about season 8, the final season. Episode, where are we? 7. Yes. Purgatory.
Oh. I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
It's happening. Oliver's gonna die. He's gonna die. Felicity's gonna die. They're all gonna die. Arrow after show. I'm already gonna get him at chill.
Okay, there's a lot of things to talk about this episode. A lot of nothing all at once. So we're so excited to have you joining us.
Hello. Hello.
Hi. Let's hold hands.
It's just us two tonight, y'all.
I'm Allie Kona Bradford, and
I'm Matt Maher, everybody.
Yay!
And yes, and Olivia and Carolina. They didn't make it in Crisis.
They did not.
So they're dead. So it's just us.
Yeah.
But they might be back.
Only the strong survive.
They might be back next week. We'll see.
Anyhow. But we're excited to have you guys with us. And Matt's already having a hoot right now, I'm assuming, because of the live chat.
I am laughing because of the live chat.
So for those of you who don't know about the live chat, please join us. You can speak below in the little comment box. Use hashtag ABTV Arrow and everything social media if you're watching it on a delay. But in the meantime, it is your job as co-host to pipe in, chime in, and say all the things that you want to say that maybe you want us to say about this episode, starting with hashtag who I love to hate.
Oh my God, I didn't think of this. Crap.
I love to hate a lot of stuff right now.
Who would you go first? Who would you love to hate?
I still love to hate Lila.
Same.
I'm like, yeah, you're same. A little bit of a mess for just getting involved. I mean, I know you're trying to save your family.
I'm going
to
talk more about that, but I hate her. I want her dead. Diggle, you can do better.
Right?
I mean.
Okay, I'm going to have some haters. Matt's going to be my number one hater. I also hashtag love to hate. I don't even love. I just hate that we're going into crisis. And a crossover.
She doesn't love the crossovers.
No.
My six-year-old child who used to watch Super Friends, and I had the Hall of Justice. Like, this is, every time they do this, this is my favorite thing ever. Like, this is, screw Christmas, I want crisis. It's true. It's kind of true. Like, I mean, it's fine. I don't need things. I need crisis.
The audacity.
That's what I need. But, oh, and here comes
snow's
the crazy.
Down.
We don't have the rights to this, y'all. We don't have the rights
to
this.
But when I sing it, we do.
So in the chat, which in our live chat, by the way, we've got some people here. We've got Jerry. We've got JJ.
Oh, JJ.
We've got Brandon Bowie, Blob 989, Gracie Ryan, Billie Jean, all the normal Steven Fate. So far, they're who I love to hate are... Mia. There's a couple of Mias.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She was being a little emo.
I mean, but is it understandable?
No, your dad's a hero. He's killing himself, you know. Like,
he's killing himself.
Like, you know.
She was
like, but what about me? And he's like, but what about the universe?
What about me?
I mean, hashtag
the universe.
It's true. And so, Mia, you should live in LA because we know a lot of people you fit in with, don't we? So the monitor, some people said monitor.
Yeah.
Someone said they hate audio issues. I'm hoping that's not us and the show. But a lot of Mias. Yeah, Mia.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of people did not. The Mia and the monitor. So, yeah. Like, Brandon Bowie says, who I love to hate is Mia because the way she was being extra about her dad dying, even though it's literal for the literal multiverse.
We're going to talk about that.
We're going to talk about that.
We will talk about that. But as an overall, how did you feel about this episode?
Well, you know, I wasn't here last week. I was celebrating Thanksgiving with my mother.
Yay.
But I loved last week's episode. I was bummed not to be here to recap it. I feel like this episode, it was good. It was just, there's a lot to do in this episode. They've got to basically, like, put everything to a head and, like, prepare us for crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it was a Lila-heavy episode, and we don't love Lila here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Olivia's head would be spinning right now if she's here. So, but so, overall, though, I thought it was a good episode. There were some moments where I was clutching my pearls, for sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what about you?
I loved and hated it all at once.
Okay.
Same thing. There was a lot going on this episode, and one of my big comments last week was that I felt like they were shoving it down our throats that Oliver's going to die. And it bothers me a little bit. But at the same time, Carolina said she feels like it's going to be the exact opposite. We're like so being led down this tunnel of you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die. And they're at least going to give us a peaceful end and he doesn't die. I don't know if that's true or not, but regardless, if he does die, I'm a little irritated that that's all we're focused on is the fact that, you know, say your apologies while you, or not apologies, but yeah, I guess apologies, say your goodbyes while you can.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. But now that Oliver has this new, I have accepted that I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about him is like, ugh, which has been a lot of this season. But I will say that they did a really good job this whole season of utilizing the characters that do come back. They come, they drop their little bits of wisdom, and then they're out.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that the characters are dynamic, and you do have people like Laurel giving great advice. Like, she's become one of my favorites, and she never used to be.
I know. We both love her now.
Yeah.
And we were not on the Black Siren train.
No.
No, we weren't.
Yeah.
And she, choo-choo! All aboard!
Yeah. So that's my general.
Okay. And but it looks like people seem to like this episode in the chat. That's all I'm going to say. Y'all seem to have liked the episode, so there you go. Which is good if you didn't come out. Matt and Olivia is the one. Stardew wasn't happy that I said Olivia's talking about Olivia's and Carolina being dead. It was a joke. I went dark. I went dark, as Ivan Soda said. It was a joke. They're not really dead. So it seems like people were kind of like, it was just a lot of, it was okay, but also a lot of this was just a prep for crisis.
Right.
But it is interesting how, and we're going to talk about Flash a little bit later, but how this episode did, you know, in Flash, if you're watching Flash, the whole thing is the monitor has told Barry he has to die too. So both these characters are going to die. We don't have this in Supergirl. We don't have it in, I don't think we have it in Black Lightning. I'm not caught up. And we don't have it in Batwoman. So it's interesting to see the parallels of both of them, and it's interesting to see how they both react to it in their own different ways. So, but we'll talk more about that. We'll also talk about in the news and gossip. We have some news about Crisis, and we have a little bit of some Mia news.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be happening. And we also have our special segment. Even though Caroline is not here, she sent me an email.
Yay!
We have Archer's Alley.
Yay!
All right.
So I want to talk about Diggle first, because obviously there's a lot for him to digest this episode. He's still dealing with the fact that his wife has lied to him and they agreed to no lies and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I get that you made a deal with the monitor, but that is quite a big thing to hide from somebody and very difficult. And then for me, if I was Diggle, like my trust with you is gone, my everything. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that Diggle has not yet accepted, or at least going into this episode, people's fates. Like he will not give up, even with Roy, which we'll talk about that too.
That was a pearl clutching scene.
Yes. Yeah.
It was.
But Diggle still has that heart of a lion the whole entire time. And there's a few characters that are like, you know, just accept what it is. And it's
that's
like,
why
no.
I love Diggle. I love Diggle that he's just, it's stubborn sometimes, but you always know who Diggle is.
Yeah.
And he's always like a ride or die friend. He's always going to do the right thing. And I'm super, I just love him. And I want him to take his shirt off.
That's what Crisis is going to be all about.
If Diggle doesn't have his shirt off in Crisis, I'm going to have a crisis. Anyway.
I don't know.
Anyway.
That, like, I just got a mental picture and now all my thoughts have escaped my brain.
I know.
But outside of Diggle, I know, I feel like I'm, like, pounding the table with this one, but it is very hard for me to accept that Oliver is at a point where, you know, I was trying to fight my fate, but they showed me last episode that I can't fight my fate, so now Monitor's not a bad guy, and I'm gonna die.
I think it's interesting in that we, you know, this show, I actually, again, it seems, it can get kind of dark, but I like shows where, that's one thing I like about Game of Thrones. I don't want to talk about the ending, but, you know, when a character died on that show, they died. They were gone. It was a finality to it. It ups the stakes of the show.
Except
Jon Snow.
Well, his ass is amazing, Ryan, so he had to be back on the show. Okay? Don't come for me. Don't come for me in the booth. But that's true. He did come back. But there's just other shows where that's happened, where I actually have liked that. So, for me, that with superhero stuff, there is no finale. Like, everybody comes back. Nobody's dead. So, it's like we're not even stressed about that anymore. And so, I think maybe I agree with Carolina that probably he's not going to die, but because they seem to be hitting it on the head so much. But it is nice to, like, you know, I imagine as a hero, you're processing that. You always think you're going to get out of something. Mm-hmm. And like William said, he's cheated death over and over and over and over and over. And so finally to know that this is it in, I don't know, but I like existential stuff like that. I like that we all are going to have to face that one day.
But
I like that.
But do you like the fact that the characters are starting to accept that this is it? Like, this is it? Because I feel like when you go into something, Oliver still has something to fight for, and that he's fighting for a multiverse. Mm-hmm. Whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's fighting for his kids to have safety. So yes, that's a great reasoning, but at the same time, if I'm going into a battle and I know I'm gonna die, either two things are gonna happen. You're just gonna go balls to the walls and be like, I'm gonna die anyway. Mm-hmm. Or you're gonna be hopefully smarter about it so you can last as long as you can. Or, so option three, you say, F that. The only person that can determine my fate is me. Boom. And that's the Oliver that I wanna see.
There. I think that, because superheroes are, especially in the DC canon, they are gods. So they are the masters of their own fate. So I think this whole thing of crisis is looking at they're not, and that there is something bigger. And because the Anti-Monitor is basically a god. Mm-hmm. So looking that there is something bigger than them. So, and who knows, even this crisis could kind of what it did in the comics is it kind of reset the boundaries. These reboots they've done before is that a lot of times Superman's character almost becomes too strong. And so they'll kind of reboot that character to, like, because if they're too powerful, then what's the point, you know? Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see if it affects in any of that way. But I get it. I don't think, going back to what you said, though, the first thing you said, I don't think any of them think he's going to die. I think all of them are sad and they think that he thinks he's going to die, but they don't think he's
going
to die.
They're just going with
it. They're going to be like, so he's going to swing in there in the last minute. Something's going to happen. Like, they're like, no, he's not going to die. That's what I think they think that he doesn't think.
There's a lot of thinking happening right now on this after show, and I don't think I'm following along. That's what's going on.
If you're with me in the chat, let me know. But I think, you know, it's like, you know how you do your parents? You're like, yeah, Dad, sure, Dad. Okay, sure, Dad, you're going to die. Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
I think they're not like that, but I think there's a little bit of that.
Except
I don't know.
Mia,
we'll see.
I do want to, because you guys have brought it up so much, it's interesting. I didn't think so many of our friends at home were going to hate on Mia, because for me, I felt like she had a reasonable reason to be upset, because she's only had her dad for a fraction of her life. And I think also, too, it is hard to come to terms with the fact that she built him up to be this really bad guy as a child. And that was just her way of coping with the fact that her dad left. Because as a child, you see it as abandonment. And it's so much easier to, instead of just cry about it, just make this person the bad guy. Mm-hmm. Because for whatever reason, it just justifies him being gone. Mm-hmm. So for her to realize he's this great guy and finally have him and look up to him the way that she does and find out he's
good. I mean, but she was a little mean. I mean, he literally is about to die.
Well, yeah.
But I think you're right. I think that was we get upset, and a lot of times we react in like a childhood way of like mm-hmm. in our past. And then I've done that like with my boyfriend friends. I'll be like, blah, blah, blah. And I'll go, that was a 15-year-old Matt reaction. That is not the reaction that 40-year-old Matt would have. You know,
so much better than I am, because I'd just be like, no, I was right. You were wrong. What are you talking about?
Alicona is great in a relationship, y'all.
I am mature, okay? It's rare that I'm wrong, please.
I did tell my boyfriend once, if he just listened to me from the beginning, I'm usually right.
Right.
I did say that, too. So, you know, that didn't go over so well. But anyway, enough about that. But so, yeah, it's, I think that they're, because somebody brought up in the chat, too, they didn't, and we'll talk about this more, but just why they understand why Roy had to lose his arm. And I think, though, all of these characters are looking at mortality for them and what that is.
That was a pretty deep scene. I forgot that in the flash forward, Roy only had one arm, and this was
what he does.
I thought, right?
Does he?
It made my brain make that up.
Does he only have one arm in the flash forward? Y'all come at us. Let us know.
Or something. But I felt like they were just trying to give the fan base the one-armed Arrow, even though it's not the Green Arrow. Do you know what I mean? Like, everyone had a thing about the like predictions that in Crisis, before we all knew that he was going to die, mm-hmm. quote unquote, he was going to lose an arm. People are like, oh, that's how he becomes a one arm. But then we get Roy, so we're not going to have two characters running around with one arm.
Wait, Oliver was supposed to lose an arm?
Yes.
Oh, he does in the comics.
Right.
Oh, okay. I just got that. Yes.
Yeah, so it just felt like a knocked, nah, that's not the word I'm looking for, but a nudge, a nod? Nod. It felt like a nod to that without doing it to our main character. But it's still...
Everybody's saying they changed the future. And there are some people, if you watch the Young Justice show, the animated show, apparently Roy does lose his arm. He's in the Young Justice show. Mm-hmm. So they're taking that from the end. But yeah, everybody's saying, nope, Roy had both arms in the future.
Oh, did he?
But he has a robotic arm in the... Thanks. Hi, Ivan Soto, my husband. He says Roy does have a robotic arm in the comics. That is true. I forgot about that. So,
either way, I was really shocked that they showed... I mean, look, they didn't show it, but
what was heartbreaking about it, this is kudos to the actors on this. What was heartbreaking about it to me was seeing Diggle. Diggle was so, again, he's a soldier, and he was so insistent of, we're going to fix this. We're going to make this happen. This is going to get, like, I'm going to take care of this. And he just was so vigilant. And it actually made me teary-eyed because he just did not, what you just said earlier, he did not want to give up. Mm-hmm. And I thought that for him to finally accept that, it was just, it was also, all of them were a little bit like, ironic too, that the older guard had no idea of what to do and to fix it. And it was like the younger one, you know, it was Colin, who was like, this is what you do. Or not Colin, JJ, sorry. Who's the son? I'm going blank. I need iced tea.
Connor,
thank you.
You said I need iced tea?
I need iced tea. Y'all, I'm Southern. I like an iced tea. But anyway, that was a really hard scene to watch. Yeah. It was, and Arrow's like, oh, okay, somebody died. Like, we're used to that. But literally, this, kudos to David Ramsey for just like killing that.
Yeah.
Killing that.
But it was bizarre. I'm glad you said that. As far as Connor knowing what to do, like without hesitation, if it's this, then it's this. If it feels like this, if it feels like that, that's da da da. And then where did the sword come from out of nowhere? That he was like, yeah, you know, this kind of thing.
And he was like,
right?
I got this. Right? And it was just like, okay.
Am I going to feel it?
Probably.
I don't think they could tie that thing tight enough to where you would.
Yeah, I think you're going to feel it.
What was crazy to me is later on, when they're back in their bunker, I guess it was a bunker, Roy's just sitting there. I don't think they had that much morphine on them. Like, how is he just having a conversation?
He's a superhero.
No, he's a human hero.
But he's a superhuman hero. He's been through so much more painful stuff. Like, he's good.
Are you sure?
Y'all, come at us if you've lost an arm out there. Let us know how painful
it
was.
He's so bad. That's terrible.
Well, oh, I hope you didn't. I hope you didn't, but because you're not going to get a cool robotic arm like.
You know what? Just
I'm a horrible person. I am a horrible, horrible human being. Oh, God.
God, you need like both hands to take your foot out.
I know,
your mouth
I do.
Right now.
It's like so stuck in there.
Please anyway. Excuse my host. He did not mean to offend.
If you've
anybody.
Lost your arm, I'm very sorry.
And you can leave a comment below. You can rate Matt on iTunes. Go ahead. Tell them what they can do.
Yeah. I love that Gracie Ryan says, there are swords all over that island. Like, he just found there's just like a sword in the grass, which is actually true. That's accurate. That's very accurate. There's so many swords on the side. They're like, I need a sword. I need a bow. That's really funny. That's true. Yeah. That's very true. That's okay. Very true.
For those listening to the...
For those. And I don't know if that is a reminder for everybody, but I know Shane Bell for me, Gracie Ryan. But for... Yes, I want to say before we get to talking about this, Brandon, thank you so much. Allie Kona Smokey Eye is incredibly on point tonight.
Thank you.
It looks really good. I stared at her for a good 20 hours. And so, okay. So we do want to remind everybody, too, that I know that we're not all here, but we're here in spirit. Mm-hmm. And the reason why we're here is because we love this show. We don't have a lot of friends, and you are our friends, especially when it comes to Arrow, because we love it so much. And the only way we're able to be here is because you are supporting us. You're subscribing to that video. You're thumbs upping it. You're telling your coworkers about it. You're telling your mom. Your mom's saying, stop watching that Arrow show. It's right in your brain, but you do it anyway. And we appreciate it. You talk about it on your water cooler. So the way you can keep us going is subscribe to this channel on your YouTube channel, and you'll get not only, especially if you're about to do Crisis, y'all, then if you subscribe, you're going to get an alert when you get Arrow, Supergirl, Batwoman, all of them. We cover all of them. We've got your Crisis covered here at AfterBuzz TV. So, and lastly, if you listen to the podcast, if you can go to Apple Podcast and leave a 5-star review, and even if you don't know what to say, write something. Even if it says turkey call, just put that in there, because we need that helps bump us up and helps people find us. And y'all, I'm so happy to be here with you in this exciting moment of comic book nerddom. It's a big deal. And thank you for making AfterBuzz the ESPN of TV talk. There we go. There we go.
That deserves a big round of applause.
Ivan said he's going to miss this. This is his favorite AfterBuzz podcast. And that means a lot, because Ivan watches a lot of AfterBuzz. He's a big supporter.
Yes, you do.
I appreciate that.
I bet you say that to all
it's
the hosts.
It's true. It's true. And Gracie Ryan, I love you too. You are my favorite ginger bear as well.
Aww.
I guess I am a bear. Well, now I have a beard. I'm not used to it. I'm also a little fat, but you know, no, I'm working
Shut
on
your
it.
Face right now, Matthew Marr.
Anyway, what's next?
So you were talking about them being here in spirit, but according to Yao Fei, you like that transition?
That was a great transition, yes.
Yeah. Spent a lot of money on hosting school for that. So anyway, Yao Fei says that you survive when your spirit goes on. Your spirit is with you. We get a nod to Shadow. Would have loved to see her, but that's okay.
Yeah. Some people mentioned that too. Would have loved to see Shadow.
But he was what I was referring to when I was saying bringing the characters back and really making good use of them, and that he had some great things to say to remind Oliver, quit avoiding your kids. Do you realize you only have a limited time? Mm-hmm. Now that we've accepted that you were quote-unquote going to die, you're going to push your kids away from you? A. B. I thought it was very interesting that he went back to training mode and Oliver's with his little pocket knife trying to cut some wires. And he's like...
Yeah.
Yalfe's like, breathe. I'm this like, way. Bitch, I'm cutting a knife. But
you just burned that.
But I'm like, how long was Yao Fei just sitting in that net, amused, watching Oliver, like, you know, I could get us down, but it's cool. I'm going to let you sweat a little bit.
At least he added like a good 10 minutes.
Yeah, right?
For sure.
Right?
For sure.
We'll see if he learns his lesson. No, didn't want to learn? No? Hey, watch this.
Watch this. It was good to see him again. It was good to, like, the thing this episode, I think, did do well for the most part was. I forgot about that. Again, I wish we would have seen Shadow. I mean, because that was such... I mean, she died.
Or Manu Bennett. Can we get him back, please?
Oh.
You missed it last week. We pulled up a picture of him naked on a white horse. It was great.
Oh, I'd love to have been that horse. Anyway.
Chill.
I'm so sorry. Oh my god. And that is why I love doing this show.
Oh, we got a lot. We're getting some mad chills in there. Okay.
What Sarah, happened in tonight's episode?
Save a horse, ride a cowboy, ride a ginger bear. Anyway, so yeah, but y'all just keep the mad chills coming. We're gonna keep on going.
Okay.
But yeah, so I think, but it did do, I know.
Okay, sorry.
I know, but this really, it did get a good job of reminding us, like, I think this will be, this is going to be the last time I think we go with Lee and you. I think.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you this is done. We're donezo. So, that was a little, I was watching this going, wow, because this line, I thought that monologue that, Steve, that Oliver talked about at the end, is that he used so much of Lee and you is like he hated it. Mm. It was a thing that ruined his life. Mm-hmm. And that's such a good, again, that's such a hero perspective to take of that, not to get too Oprah-y, but I do like Oprah. But really, and as a therapist, I know like gratitude actually changes your brain chemistry. So to literally, and also as I know with clients, when you have gratitude about something, even something that horrible happened to you, you actually feel like you have some type of control of your destiny. And so I think that was interesting that he was able to have gratitude for Lee and you and realize what it did give him. I mean, yes, it maybe ruined his life in one way, but in other ways, like, he wouldn't have met his wife. He would not have his children all from this, Diggle. This never would have happened.
Right.
So I just thought that was a beautiful moment. That was really, for me, the full circle moment of Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that.
I did, too. And it is so true in life. If you think about all the hardships you've ever had in your life, and you can sit there and begrudgingly, but if you really think about it, you're a fighter because of those things.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm glad that I didn't think of it that way when I was watching it, as far as how relevant it is to you, me, and you at home.
Yeah.
But it really is.
Well, at the end of the day, that's why I love these characters so much. I mean, I always say, like, that's why I love Wonder Woman so much, is because I realized at a very young age it was okay that I was gay, because that was my truth. And she was so much about your truth and who you are. So I think for all these characters, we find that aspirational self that we do want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the times that we didn't like some of these seasons, when we didn't like Arrow, was it like season 4 or 5 when Oliver was just dark, dark, dark all the time? Like,
just blaming himself.
Just blaming himself.
Guilty,
like,
guilty, guilty.
We don't want to, we understand he's moody and he's brooding, but we need to see some type of like resiliency and hope in Oliver. And that was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And that whole thing with, I mean, boy, they set up that spinoff, didn't they? With Mia and Oliver.
Right.
Where he's like, literally, y'all, this kind of made me roll my eyes when he was like, but my story's done and you have many stories to tell. On Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. on CW, coming in 2021. You know what I mean? Like, it was so wink wink. But anyway.
Yeah.
I thought that. So. I had one thing for everybody else out there.
Yes, yes.
So Oliver and Diggle have this great moment, too, that I loved.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about
that? Sure, of course.
And again, it just showed how Diggle was so loyal to the end. And it was this beautiful moment of, like, I think Oliver, you know, here Diggle was hired to be the bodyguard for Oliver. And I think it's really switched from season to season of, like, who's taking care of Oliver, who's taking care of Diggle. And really, at the end, we see they both are kind of their own person and really support one another. And then, I don't know if this happened on y'all's TV, but we had a little bit of static, and they went into hug, and then they kissed.
What?
Finally! They kissed!
Like, did I miss
that? That's what happened! That's what I saw in my head! Nobody?
I was watching a totally different episode.
Okay.
It was just Oliver doing
just me.
Salmon ladder. It's great.
Just me.
I know we talked about Lila, but something about Lila really quick. Please explain to me, because, you know, I can be a little bit slow, especially because if you see my iPad... to show you these extensive notes. It's like I quote the entire character. And I never, ever refer to these notes ever again. But in my mind, it just makes me feel so much better to know that they're here. Regardless, I say that because great things are happening on the screen. And sometimes I'm like this. So, that said, Lila gets sucked into the hole. Her jeans were the one. Please, I'm slow. They're like, this ball, this little blue ball needs to be grasped by Oliver, and life is going to be great again, but it doesn't work. So then Lila comes in, and all of a sudden, William's like, oh, it's her jeans that are going to, and everyone just went, and I was like, so Lila has to hold the ball. Okay. I missed the reveal on that, and then she came back.
I don't think there was. She didn't. I think that was the whole point of what's supposed to make us a little nervous is that Lila is so sure, and that's kind of what we got her. She is sure on faith that that she's doing the right thing and saving her family. But here we see she doesn't even know the whole story. She's grabbing this weapon, and her DNA unlocks it, and suddenly. She's not. I think Lila's going to end up dying. I really do.
Yeah.
And already we saw, and when she came back, said that she's a harbinger now. She's not even Lila anymore. So I feel like that
body snatcher.
Yeah, I think she's been being used, and
it's her fault.
I think it's going to be ixnay for Isla Lay. That's what I think. That's what I think.
I read an interview, though, that David Ramsey was saying he was talking to her, you know, because she's been with the show for several years now, and it's the first time she's gotten to wear anything of that nature. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if it was – he didn't direct this. Oh! We're going to talk about it in a second. But anyway, I got distracted. A picture came up onto our screen. Anyhow, she put on the suit and was like, I feel so empowered. She just didn't realize that it just totally changes you when you put on the superhero suit. And even though she only got to do it, I don't know. I mean, maybe in the next few episodes we're going to see her in it, but we got to
I think she'll be in it for the rest of the time.
Yeah.
It's like drag. It's like when you put on drag, you feel empowered to say something you normally couldn't or be something you normally couldn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
I do think, though, my thing with the only story thing that I don't think adds up is that. I don't think Lila would have done this, actually. With Lila's training in Argus and all of the things, she's the head of Argus, y'all. It's not like she's some detective, like on a, like a beat cop or whatever. She literally is the head of like an organization that's supposed to be even better than the CIA, FBI. Yet she just is going to believe on blind faith that this is a god. I just, that's the only thing I was like, this is kind of a, what you call it storytelling, MacGuffin? Is that what it is? Like, there's something to MacGuffin. It's basically, it's like, we're chasing the amulet.
It's
and the
plot
amulet
device.
Gets this, what?
Plot device.
Yes, it's a plot device, basically, that doesn't really, it could be anything. Like, it could be, it's almost like a placeholder to get us to do something, but it's not necessarily essential. And I feel like Lila's a MacGuffin.
Yeah. It makes me think of McGruff with the crime-fighting dog. But anyhow, digress.
Sorry. That's sometimes okay. Sometimes Ali Kona has gay DD too, even though she's
so
straight.
Hard.
Yeah,
so bad.
Hard.
So bad. That said, you brought up the fact that Lila is ahead of this.
She's ahead of Argus. No, that's fine. She's ahead of Argus. And also people in the chat are basically saying, and maybe I missed this, I think Lila... I didn't see this, but people were saying Lila's been with the monitor, like working with him since the beginning of series one.
Yeah, that's
I didn't get that.
That's
so,
what it came across when
David,
like he's my buddy, David. But when Diggle was talking to her and she, I don't know, I remember hearing that too when he was asking her about it. And yeah,
she did explain it actually.
She's been with her quite some time.
She said when she was rescued.
Yes, that's what I'm glad you guys brought that up. Thank you, co-host. But. It's almost like the writers are trying to tackle why it would be disbelievable for her to trust this person because you're army trained and you are the head of Argus, which is like the CIA. So you think you would do a little bit of homework or just be
and also you've had
mystified.
8 years to prepare for this.
Well, not even that,
to like research,
right? But she had that quick little tiny speech about. You know, I thought it was crazy, too. I mean, this funny-looking guy with an da-da-da-da-da, like, I don't know. the words specifically she said, but basically saying this funny dressed guy comes out of nowhere and tells me that I'm like the chosen one. And I thought it was crazy too. But then he showed up on that day and they brought back the whole fact that her platoon, if I'm using the wrong verbiage, I apologize. But her whole platoon had died except for her. Mm-hmm. And then she out of nowhere, you didn't tell your husband this? The monitor saved her and told her that he saved her.
It was
purpose.
A bit of like, what? This came out of nowhere.
Very. Like, someone just pitched an idea, and they were like, yeah, we're going to go with that. That's our explanation. Go.
Well, regardless, she's here.
Yeah.
So,
well, we interrupt this very important scheduled program for a public service announcement since Matt missed it last week. In case you missed it last week.
Wow.
Manny Bennett. Naked, ladies and gentlemen, on a horse. Like, he's literally got, like, naked. Not even a thong.
He's got really... You know where some buff guys have stick legs? Not him.
Oh,
he's a man's man.
Yeah.
He is a man's man.
Wind blowing
Boy,
in his hair.
I know. I need to smoke a cigarette after seeing this, and I don't even smoke. I just need to calm down.
If you are listening on iTunes, you might want to go ahead and look up Manu Bennett naked on a white horse.
Yeah, you might want to do that. Wow, that makes me feel bad about some choices I've made in my life. But that's okay. We're going to keep going.
I mean, this is so off topic, but how did that photo shoot even come about? Like, how do you pitch that to somebody?
You're smoking pot with your friends.
Is that what happened?
That's probably
I don't
how it
do
happens.
That. Okay.
I don't either, but I'm just saying that when. So that's why you and I aren't naked on a horse.
I get
because we don't do that. Not smoking a doobie. I don't know what you do with your lives, people. I don't know what you do with your lives.
I don't know either. Oh my goodness. Okay, co-host, what's going on in the chat?
So let's see. We're talking. Oh, well, now we're talking about Manu Bennett. Gracie Ryan says, those spies could suffocate me and I wouldn't care.
Yes.
It's true. Shadow says, I missed that picture last time. JJ says, he has too many abs.
Oh, hey.
I guess. Billie Jean Girl just says, holy crap, wow. And Brandon Bowie says he has abs on his abs.
Right?
Yeah, and Ivan says the same thing. I like how all the women are like, he could get it. And all the guys are like, look at his abs. So anyway, I think that's funny. But yes, so that's what's going on with the chat.
Okay, I mean.
I think, let's see, did we cover, I think we got.
We covered, I mean, look, we said it before, a lot happened, but not a lot happened. The last thing I will talk about is the fight scenes, because for me, those are like the best.
Thank you for saying. I want to talk about the fight scenes, and then we'll talk about the weird ending.
Sure.
That you were like, what's happening?
Thank you. So great fight scenes. Always great to see the women, the powerhouses, and all that other good stuff. There was something that happened. There was actually a moment where Laurel was blonde, and she approached Oliver, and it was like, she had the knife or another magical sword to her neck. And first of all, I was like, how did that happen? But how did she get caught? It's Laurel. Obviously, she gave in for a reason. But the point of this is Laurel was blonde. And then for 2 seconds, she had white hair. And then she went back to blonde. And I was like, ooh, okay, stunt double. We need to work on that.
Bad wig. Bad wig.
But other than that, but it's still good. Look, not to diss the choreography or the stunt person because they did an amazing job. As always, I feel like the show literally never disappoints.
This was, I think, and I think they saved it. Again, this was the ultimate fight scene for Arrow we've ever seen. And mainly because, and what the scene I'm talking about is at the end. Mm-hmm. And it gave me goosebumps and got me teary-eyed because it looked cinematic. It reminded me of something we would see like
slow-mo.
Like some shots that we saw like in Endgame for Marvel's. Because it was that panning shot where Oliver and Diggle needed to get across it to the other side. And y'all, if you're not in film or anything at all, they did that in a one shot.
Uh-huh.
So this wasn't like a lot of stunt stuff. We were just talking about this earlier, is a lot of shoot this. It's cutaway. It's fast. They can kind of fake stuff. This was so many, like, I would love to talk to that stunt coordinator and just interview them. And,
James Bamford.
And be what was that like? Because that is so hard to film. So hard to get right, and they did that intercuts, which it reminded me a little bit. They would do that some in Wonder Woman too, of regular fight, and then when something would happen, she would turn her head, or something would blow up, and they would just do it in slow mo. It's such a Patty Jenkins technique that she uses. I loved it. It was beyond, and I was just like, way to go out on a high note.
Yeah,
loved it.
Yeah,
Anyway, I have a lot of opinions to that.
Okay.
Lots of opinions to that. Okay. So we can talk a little bit about the end, right?
Okay.
Because we're out of time, I know.
A few things. I know you're going to explain that a little bit. Mm. But this is the reason why I have a hard time with these crossovers. I was telling Matt, I feel like each show has its own tone. So when you try to put them all together, some of the tones don't mesh for me. And with Arrow, one of the reasons why I love it so much, sure, it's fantasy, it's superhero, but they're human superheroes, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. And so we're going from Arrow, which has its Arrow feeling, and then all of a sudden it felt like I got sucked in and I'm watching Tomb Raider and like the cheesy version. I love Brendan Fraser, but it was like that version of Tomb Raider. I was like, it was so jarring. I'm like, are we still watching Arrow or is this a commercial for something else? It took me a moment to realize we were still watching Arrow.
I'd be interested to see how, like, for me, I don't think of it at all. By the way, Ivan said James Bamford actually directed this episode.
Oh, did he? You can always tell. He always does a really, he does one shots a lot when he does them.
Yeah, it was really great.
And he's also been a guest, P.S., via Skype, but he has been a guest on the show.
Oh, he has. I think they just assume at this point that you watch the other Arrow, that you watch the other DC Universe shows. I think they just assume that. And yeah. I'm not saying that's a good thing. Maybe it's not. Because for me, I didn't even have that thought at all because we just, you know, finished Flash. And I knew that was Flash. And I knew that was not Harrison Wells, but Harry. Mm-hmm. And I knew that, like, we're... Basically, I don't think this is a spoiler in any way, but we're finding out he actually is the bad guy. And there's kind of been alluded to a name. I'm not going to say that because I don't want to do any spoilers if people don't know. But basically, the way it's been building up in Flash is he's been trying to tell him that's where the Anti-Monitor, that's where he is. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where he's been staying. Like, that's his cave,
like
his house. So he's been searching and finding this. And so Team Flash has been helping him with that. But I think now we're seeing that he's been doing this for super dubious reasons. So that's why it made sense to me. So that's for any of you that don't watch Flash. But yeah. But anyway, that's that. And I know we got to get to other stuff. So there you go.
So, well, then let's just go to Archer's Alley, shall we?
Sure. Okay, so we'll keep it real quick on this one because I know we're running out of the time. Well, we got a couple of pictures Carolina pulled.
Pulling them up right now.
That's fine, sugar. You just pull them up.
Okay, here they are. Well,
just like you just put those on a white horse. Uh-huh. Ryan, are you naked in the booth?
I'm definitely praying.
That's good. So if you see that these are, that's pretty bad. These pics are from, they're actually from the comic book series of Arrow that literally just kind of documents what's happening in the TV. So if you go and read in this, there's some stills of, Carolina just thought everybody liked to be reminded that you can literally, if you want another perspective, you could read the comics on these. And
great Christmas present.
Ooh, that is a great Christmas present. Yeah. These pages, this is Oliver and Roy. They're getting ready to head to Lee and New, which is relevant because that's exactly what's happening. And I agree. Carolina said too, it's a good way to relive the series from another perspective. I would be super, a lot of times in comics, you know what people are thinking more and we don't get that as much. So that would be really, really cool. And the other pictures are of him and Roy as well. So anyway, check those out. That might be in your local comic book store. So, or download the DC app on your iPad. Yeah, that's what I've got. So if you can go to the comic store, that's great because we love supporting local comic stuff. Yeah. But check it out. So yeah, there you go.
And now let's get into some news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Passing.
Oh, it's me. It's me. Yeah, I'm doing this. So we're going to show, I just want to show like a short little segment from the final crossover trailer dropped today, actually.
Ooh, okay.
So
okay.
It's a whole like minute and 40 seconds long. But if you have it, I think if we could start on 43 seconds, I just want everybody to see a little bit of like just 10
seconds. Sorry,
just
close
How
it.
Cool to be
it's
back.
Fine.
Here it is, though. Here it is.
Okay.
Alrighty, we're at 43.
Dun, 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 dun. Save the multiverse. Needs you. Across space and time exists seven heroes who can't save the multiverse.
I'll find them.
You are Clark Kent, right?
Yeah.
Bruce?
Kate.
Okay, that's pretty much, you can stop there.
Can Tom Wellington have his shirt off?
I know.
Oh my God.
That man
I
can still
him.
Get it as
he
well.
He is so hot.
He is so hot. Now, the reason I showed that is because I just wanted to, I freaked out because there's Tom Welling, and obviously, you know, we know that Brandon Routh is Superman as well, and we know that the other Superman for Supergirl's in there, but the guy that plays Batman, that's Kevin Conroy, and he's Batman Kingdom Come, and Kevin Conroy is the definitive voice of Batman for the animated series for like the last 25 years.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
The fact that he is playing Batman in live action, we've never had that before. I just want to mention to everybody too, real quick, I know we're trying to get through stuff, but the breakdown for the schedule for Crisis is December 8th, Supergirl will air part 1, December 9th, Batwoman will air part 2, on December 10th, Flash will air part 3, and then the final two installments of Crisis will be in the new year. So both of them will be actually on the same night. It will be January 14th. Arrow will air part 4, and then Legends will air part 5. So that is what is going to be happening.
And then after that, for clarification, then we'll have 2 more episodes of Arrow, or Arrow's done?
I now believe we have 2 more episodes of Arrow. I've heard 1 more episode of Arrow, and then the last episode of Arrow, I think, is supposed to be the crossover episode of the Canaries, I believe. That's what we reported here before.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, and then we have some other news, well, you know, but I can save it for next time. Do you have another question?
No. Okay, predictions. Let's just predictions.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Did I say predictions?
You did not.
I did not. Yeah, but we can do news next week.
Okay.
Ron's got to go home. He's naked. He is cold.
I got to
put on clothes. Yes.
Okay. So the whole big thing is when Crisis. What kind of horse is that? Good Lord.
It's a gay horse. Hey.
It's a Bronco.
Morocco?
Bronco.
Oh.
Bronco.
What was I predicting? Yeah. That's. In the Crisis, everyone's saying that's when Oliver dies. If we have 2 episodes after the crossover, then he's not dying in the crossover. Unless it's 2 episodes of everybody mourning the fact that he's dead. And if so, that's stupid. Okay, your prediction.
I mean, maybe he dies and he has 1 last day
flashbacks
to like be with them. I don't
You're
know.
Dead, come back as a ghost.
You know what?
Just so we can have 2 more
I hope
episodes.
You love this Crisis, and I hope you sob like a baby. And instead of
not
comforting
happening.
You, I will say, told ya!
I'll be sad if Oliver does die. That would make me cry. I'll be crying because it's the end of an era. But
I'm gonna cry because we're gonna not be in this chat with these people.
I know.
We're gonna miss them.
So weird.
So I'll be missing very much. Okay. So yeah, my prediction is, I've kind of said it, but I'm gonna stick with my guns. Lila is gonna kick the bucket. I think Lila's out of there.
Yeah, agreed.
Out of there.
She was a fool. She got played, and
she
now
played.
She's out.
Yeah, and because everybody else we know is in the future on Team Arrow, right?
Right, I think so.
We don't know if she is.
Yeah, but I mean, they're changing the future as they go just
by
knowing each other, but that's a whole other story.
It's true.
We've talked a lot. We've laughed a lot.
We've cried a lot. Actually, you cried a lot, probably when I said something inappropriate.
Yeah.
But,
which is like every second of the show, but we had a great time doing it. So thank you so much for joining us. For those of you who are in the live chat, thank you for coming.
Thank you so much. And I see you are leaving predictions, but we're out of town. So leave your predictions in the comments section, and I'll go read those, I promise, and we'll check them out.
Did you say we're out of town?
We're out of town, and we're out of time.
And we hope that you continue to chug. I'm like, what? I hope you do that later on tonight or this morning. And while you're looking at us on social media, do that too.
In fact, you know what?
Find me on Instagram at yourTrulyAliKona with the underscores in between. And if you can figure out how to spell hup, I will personally give you a shout out on the show.
Personally give you a shout out. And you can find me at TheMattMar, 2 T's, 2 R's, at Instagram and the Twitter.
Yeah.
And y'all, thank you for being here. We love you. We'll see you next week, right?
Yes. I think, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
We're great hosts.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.